Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. And now the three mind games that veterans play that make it harder for them to find work, and one they should be playing. These come from a new ebook being made available free to vets and others called Heroes Get Hired, How to Use Your Military Experience to Master the Interview. It's published by NBC Books with sponsors including Citibank and the Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America. If you're marking the 10th anniversary of the start of the Iraq War this week, maybe the start of your own deployment's 10th anniversary, unemployed and uncertain, this might help. With us now are Michelle Tillis Letterman, author of Heroes Get Hired. She's founder of Executive Essentials, an executive coaching company, and is also the author of The 11 Laws of Likeability, and retired Colonel Jack Jacobs, who did a video introduction to the ebook, a Medal of Honor winner in the Vietnam War, who had a military career in infantry and says he used those skills to make it in investment banking, of all things, after his military service. So, Michelle and Colonel Jacobs, welcome to WNYC.
Thanks for having us.
Michelle, where did the idea come from for this book?
You know, I was sitting in an office and talking with the NBC publishing division and saying that, you know, the real need right now is that there's 5 million veterans coming back over the next – I'm sorry, 1 million over the next 5 years. And the unemployment rate is bad as it is. But for this group of people, it's even higher.
And, Colonel, you say that you drew from your 20 years of staff positions with infantry units to make the transition to investment banking. I know the market is a dog-eat-dog world, but – it seems counterintuitive. How does infantry experience help you transition to a Wall Street career?
Oh, when I retired, I went to Wall Street, and I got calls from friends of mine who were still in the service, colonels and all that. And they said, how is it out there? As if I were on parole and they were coming up for a work release hearing or something similar. And I told them what I'll tell you now, that the transition was extremely easy because all the things that you need to know on the outside – or all the things that young soldiers, sailors, airmen, and Marines learn when they're 19 years old. The people whom I saw then and I still see today who are successful in business are people either with military experience or are innately of a military mind, because all those lessons you learn when you're a young troop are exactly those things you need to know to be successful on the outside.
Sometimes, but with games, you have four mind games. You have a chapter in your book, right, about mind games, four mind games that veterans play, named after well-known games that most of us have played. And three are not good for the vets, and one is good for the vets. And the first one is charades. What does charades have to do with a job interview?
So this is the idea that we often think we know what somebody's looking for, and we have this idea of how we should present ourselves, which is not really who we are, but what we think they want. And so we play charades, and we're not really presenting our authentic selves, and it doesn't work in the interview.
As you say elsewhere in the book, a job interview is a test, and we do have to present ourselves in job interviews the way we think we're likely to succeed, don't we?
You do have to talk about how what you bring to the table applies to the job, absolutely, but it shouldn't be fake. If you think that they want somebody who's all hip and it's just not authentic, and that's not who they're hiring. And the problem is, if you present something that you are not, it's not going to work once you're there, and you won't be successful.
Another game you say vets play on job interviews is the game of taboo. What does taboo have to do with job interviews?
Taboo is the idea of, I'm not sure if I should say that, or I'm not sure what I should talk about, and is this okay? And so we are constantly questioning, and really our hesitation, our doubt, and our lack of confidence comes out, and it doesn't really reflect on our abilities.
Do veterans tend to play these games, charades and taboo, in self-defeating ways? In certain ways, you say, for example, that lack of civilian job experience puts veterans in a taboo mindset.
That, and also they play the game sorry, apologizing for the fact that they don't have that experience, where they should really be coming from a place of strength. Veterans bring to the table skills and attributes that those that are coming straight out of school don't have. And it's changing their own perspective of what they're bringing to the table. That's why I say I want them to play truth or dare.
Truth or Dare. And in that context, you tell the story of a veteran you met who answered all his interview questions truthfully, but held himself stiffly in the interview and was told later it was like he was reading from a script. Why does an employer care if you're respectful but not too loosey-goosey in a job interview?
One of the things they're trying to test during an interview is fit. How is it going to be working with this person? Do they fit into our culture? Is this somebody who I feel comfortable putting in front of a client? This person that I tell the story about was interviewing for a customer-facing role and never smiled.
And this could be, Colonel, a common pitfall for veterans, I would think, on interviews, since they're coming from the military culture with its yes or no sir protocol. You think?
There is a bit of that. One of the things you have to teach troops is not to say sir, but you're trying to be disrespectful, but civilians, particularly people who have had no military experience whatsoever, are put off by this. They don't know how to react to somebody saying sir or ma'am to them. So we teach them to get rid of that, usually. However, one of the things that you learn in the military is to be as straightforward as possible. And that's a characteristic they need to carry through and make sure that they deliver at the interview, because people will be impressed with the fact that they have a great deal of confidence in themselves.
Not being a vet myself, I have noticed that about vets. And there's a certain straightforwardness that seems to build trust, I think, when people are addressing you in that way.
Well, it's learned in basic training. You know, when we go off to war, we fight to accomplish the mission. We fight to defend the country. Most of all, we fight for each other. And straight talk is the only way that you can build confidence inside a small unit to get people to do things they otherwise wouldn't do. This capability to instill confidence, to talk straight, is one of those characteristics are great to carry forward in civilian life.
Still, it sounds like there are things to carry forward into your job interview situation and application situation and other things that maybe you have to unlearn a little bit from military culture, like that stiffness, and that's part of the task.
Yeah, it is. It takes a little effort, and the Defense Department actually needs to do a better job of making sure that this happens. It takes 8 to 12 weeks to take a civilian and turn them into a soldier, sailor, airman, or marine, plus some additional training. They usually take about a week to transition out. Insufficient time.
Michelle, on the question of being straightforward and honest, and you say truth or dare is the game you should be playing, what about the many vets who have physical or psychological problems as a result of their service? Maybe a physical injury that includes a disability that may or may not be obvious in an interview, or maybe a psychological issue like PTSD. When should they disclose? How should they talk about them if they do?
First of all, the most important thing is that they don't have to disclose anything. It is their legal right to keep that right to privacy. If the injury or disability that they have impacts their ability to do the job, it is something that is in their best interest to disclose, to discuss with the employer so that they can talk about potential accommodations. Whether they do that on a first interview or a second is going to be based on their comfort level and their interest in the job. I usually tend to say bring it up in a second interview because that's when there's true interest in trying to make that partnership happen. But they can do some research ahead of time and understand what that organization has done for others in the same situation.
Colonel, same question.
I would always be straightforward about everything, and so it's difficult. It's difficult to get me to say anything other than the truth. I grew up in a household, in a neighborhood, and in a profession where the truth was the single most important thing. The Russians have a saying: bad news doesn't get any better with age. After a while, it resembles a herring in the moonlight; it shines and it stinks. Best to be straightforward at the very beginning and get things out.
And yet you've made it on Wall Street.
That's right. You know, that it still confounds me. It's very difficult for me to perceive why that worked. But I think part of it was because of the fact that I do play it straight. And as a matter of fact, in almost every business, indeed in every business, I think telling the truth and identifying problems early on makes sure that you can solve. This is something you learn in the military, too.
Right away. You were in Vietnam, won the Medal of Honor. One difference between Vietnam and Iraq, I think, and Afghanistan, is that many anti-war Americans at that time blamed vets when they came home from Vietnam. These days, almost everyone celebrates the vets, even if they think Bush and Cheney and Rumsfeld are a disgrace. And this might have relevance to a job interview, because I think a lot of employers want to hire vets, but they may also have some stereotypes that they have to get beyond. And Michelle, this comes up in the book, stereotypes.
Yes. And this is one of the challenges we talk about in the transition. And I do agree with Jack in that we do want to be honest, absolutely. But if it's not related to the job, then it's not something that is relevant, you know, potentially. So when we talk about, you know, these mind games and...
mind games. Do you want to talk about interviewer bias?
Yeah, I don't think... Well, the interviewer is going to have bias, particularly if he has no military experience. So that's always going to be a problem. And there are these stereotypes which actually confuse people who don't have any military experience. And you're absolutely right. What you're not going to say is, I really think I can do this job, but by the way, I want to let you know I have these terrible nightmares. I mean, this is not something you're going to do.
Right.
But you have to go into an interview, any kind of situation, recognizing that the person who is going to hire you, to whom you're talking, does not have your experience. He doesn't know where you've come from. And no amount of explanation is going to be able to transport that person to the battlefield whence you came. So, and you got to understand that you're really on different planets.
We're out of time, except to say, Michelle, how vets can get this free book, Heroes Get Hired, and if there are any events
Absolutely.
Or anything coming up?
We do have a couple of events, and there's a technique in the book that I want them to know for those difficult questions called Extract and Redirect. Go to heroesgethired.com, download it, watch the videos, and come out to the job fair at the Armory next Wednesday, March 27th at 8 a.m.
The Armory in?
In New York City at Lexington.
The Upper East Side Armory?
It's 26th and Lexington.
Oh, 26th and Lex. Okay, 26th and Lex. The date again?
Is March 27th, 8 to 12.
And the book, free online, is heroesgethired.com. Thank you both so much.
My great pleasure.